on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, KPP Financial President, Financial Advisor Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to InvestTalk. It is, what, is it Wednesday already? I can't believe it's Wednesday. It's Wednesday, the 4th of November, 2015. And we talk a lot about individual stocks and mutual funds and ETFs. And these are the parts, but not the whole of your portfolio of the market. They're not. Your retirement portfolio should be the end result of a plan that you construct, not just a bunch of ETFs, stocks, or mutual funds. It's a plan that you put together. And it just, this plan happens to include those things. Okay, the plan is going to be unique to you too, and your particular life situation, your aggressiveness or non-aggressiveness, your personal, you know, beliefs on what you want to accomplish. And today our main talking point is to talk about this, sticking to your plans, having a plan, sticking to it. What is the plan? Resisting the temptation to react to a market of the moment, the news of the day, the ups and downs of certain stocks or funds or even the whole market. What's your plan? And then stick to it. And, you know, the plan is made up of a bunch of parts. Part of it is how much risk you want. I mean, we're going to get into that in pretty detail here in a bit. So making a solid investment plan, you need to answer questions. And the answers will give you some immediate, you know, the answers will come to you, but it may not be immediately. So what are some of the questions? What is your purpose? What is the main goal? Is it safety? Is it income? Or is it growth? Which is the most important to you? Which of these come first? Growth, income, or safety? Put them in order. And that's the beginning of your plan. So that's some of the questions. Next question might be, how much can you realistically set aside to invest? Because some investments have minimums that you can't put in unless you have a certain amount of money. So you got to decide, you're going to do it on a monthly basis, weekly basis, a lump sum, what? And then, after you've done that, what should you invest in? What is it that you should invest in? Okay, and the answer to that depends on a bunch of other questions. How much risk? We've talked about it many times, the amount of risk you're willing to use or willing to take. And we can measure that for you, and you can decide it on yourself what to risk. But you have to understand what is risky. And I think that a lot of people don't understand what is risky in the market. You know, are stocks risky? Yes. The answer is yes. I don't care what stock you buy, it's risky. Now, of course, there's more risky stocks and less risky stocks. And the price versus all the fundamentals of that stock make it that particular stock more or less risky. Certain sectors are more risky than other sectors. It's on and on. And you have to understand these things. And it gets difficult, but you can do it. It's not beyond your ability. You can do it. I just want to teach you on this show as much as I can and in our webinars and our seminars how to do that. And if you don't want to do it, or you can't do it, or don't want to even begin that journey, which I kind of think is fun, that's okay. Hire someone else to do it for you. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number. You can call us right now, like this person did on our 24-hour listener line.
I had a question for you guys about iBond, and I just wanted to know what your opinion was on those and then what role they would play in an investment strategy. Thank you so much.
And, of course, I-bonds go directly toward, what kind of risk do you want to take? And they would be very low risk. An I-bond is an inflation-protected bond. It has a certain rate of interest, and then it adds the inflation rate to that rate. Now, the problem with that is we have no inflation or virtually no inflation right now. So you would get very low returns, because all it's basically going to be is the basic rate that they're going to pay. And they're probably sub 1%, way below 1%. But the good thing about an I bond, if inflation picks up in the future, they get adjusted. About, from ones I've seen, about every 6 months, they get adjusted, and the inflation is added to the rate. So inflation really takes off. You have great protection against inflation using the I bond. But right now, in the market we're dealing with now, they're not a very good investment because there's no inflation. But they are very safe. How's that? You can't say that about stocks. Safety. Remember the three questions. Are you looking for growth? Are you looking for income? Are you looking for safety? I bonds fits the safety. There's not going to be any growth. There'll be a tiny little bit of income, but they're very safe. See how I'm gonna fold that into the show today, by the way. All through this hour, okay? So staying the course can even be more important than being smart. Stick to your investment plan, period. Stick to it. That's going to be our main talking point. Okay. Also, we didn't get to it yesterday, so I will get to it today. And that is the only holiday gift you should get for your grandkids. More affluent consumers will shop on Black Friday and Cyber Monday report says more this year than last year. Remember yesterday I talked about, will the consumers show up because they're kind of shy right now? Well, this survey says that from American Express says that they're going to come out of the woodwork. And what did we learn from our 2000 tech crash? And this is an article about three money managers and what they learned. And I thought I'd talk about some of the things they discussed here because I think it's important. And those are going to be what we're going to discuss today. So unless you call and ask questions about what you want to talk about, this is what we're going to discuss. But first, what happened to the market today? The market was down. Okay, down 51 points for the Dow, down 3 for the NASDAQ, and down 7 for the S&P. That tells me that this is just a breather because the NASDAQ hardly moved down at all. But, of course, they had some pretty good news in some of the big NASDAQ-type stocks. So, is it a breather? Are we in for a retracement? It wouldn't surprise me because the market's right at resistance. That it gives a little bit back before it tries to make another run at the resistance to break through. It's pretty common. It could break right through. That's not unusual either. It's more common, though, for a little breather, pullback from this big move we had in October from the bottom. Okay? So that would be normal and should be something you might expect. Don't get too excited, about the market. I'm kind of feeling a year-end rally, but we'll see. It feels like it. Certainly feels like it. And it's November, December. We'll see. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley. A week from today, I will be in the San Jose for individual retirement views. That's November 11th. And then San Diego County in La Jolla, our satellite office there, on December 2nd. These are first come, first served dates, so you need to reserve your time before they fill up. And I can only talk to so many people in a day. If you live too far from our California office, we still can meet via Skype or telephone. You can reserve your time by going to investtalk.com and clicking on schedule a meeting, or you can call 888-99-CHART, then just follow the prompts. Let's talk to David in San Jose. How you doing, David?
I'm all right, Steve. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Hey, I'm not heavily, but more than I'd like to be invested in gold. And I've been kind of nervous about how it's been wheeling to, lows consistently over the last 5 days. And I'm worried about, is gold the next oil? Is this something that's going to kind of keep going down and down, and I'm hoping for a bottom, and there is no bottom. So I'm just wondering if I should cash out and suffer my losses, or do I hold, and do you see something coming that might some volatility coming up that might be worth staying in and trying to recover?
Well, you're seeing a lot of volatility in gold right now, and it's not, unfortunately, it's been down volatility the last week or two, but it looks like it put a bottom in August, okay? The thing I don't like is from August on till just couple of days ago, it was lower lows and higher highs. And then yesterday, gold broke down the trend of lower lows. So it's making me a little bit nervous that maybe gold is going to go test those August lows, which is not that far away from, you know. You know, that's one of the reasons why you don't buy too much of any one thing, David, because even though you think it's at a low and it's going to start recovering, you just never know. No one really knows. I think that if the Fed has been talking about, Janet Yellen the last couple of days when she was in the meeting, she was talking about raising rates, right? That's going to make the dollar stronger, and that'll make gold go down. Simple as that. So that's probably what you're seeing here is the worry that she is actually going to raise rates. But she may not. You know, they've been talking about that all year long, and they only got one more meeting left, so they may not raise rates. It depends on the economy, I'm assuming, and to see if there's any inflation, which I don't see any yet. I'd probably hold on to it to see if it breaks below the August lows. If it does, maybe then you need to give up. But you already taken the beating, and it's not that far from it. So let's see if we get a bounce. If you have too much of it, David, when you do get a bounce, start selling it back. Okay. You don't want to have too much gold. Let's go to Min in San Diego. Thank you, David. Let's go to Min in San Diego. How are you doing, Min?
Hi, Steve.
What's up?
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for the call.
Steve, I'm asking about the GGN. Because they have a great dividend yield, 12%.
Yes, GGN.
Is that a good long-term play?
Well, I can tell you how they make money. GGN makes that dividend yield, which is pretty high, by using it's a closing fund investing in equity securities of companies engaged in the gold and natural resources industry, and it does options on them. So I think that the income that they're going to have, it may not be 15%, but I think it's going to be pretty high and stay fairly high. And one of the reasons why it's 15% because the price is down to $5.55 for this thing. And it's fallen so much. And obviously because of gold and those kinds of things. So I think what you want to do is I think it will always have very good income. I don't know if it'll be 15% though.
No, it's like 12% right now.
Yeah. Okay.
12%, which is very high too.
That's very high too. I'm not sure it can stay in the double digits. But it's going to stay in the high single digits, in my personal opinion. I wouldn't necessarily give up on it. I just wouldn't. It's a pretty nice dividend. And it looks like it's bottomed, you know, a little bit below $5 back in September and beginning of October. Right. So I think it might be a good dividend play for you, Min.
Okay. Okay. Long-term. Okay.
Yeah, long term.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Long term, yes, I do. I mean, even if it goes, it's $5.55. If it goes back to $7, which it was in May, and then you get that dividend, that's a huge return. If it takes a year to get there, 2 years, it's still a very good return, right? So if it goes nowhere and goes flat, and you get 10% dividend. You made 10% on the money. That's a very good return, too. See, so there's some good reason to want to hold on to it. Our InvestDog number is 888-99-CHART. Speaking of risk, of course, I just brought that up. One way to get a measure of how much risk you can tolerate is to use our free risk analysis tool. It's there, ready for you on InvestDog.com. It's free. You can go there and take the little questions that takes just a couple minutes. I'm Steve Peasley, and this is Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. Companies and governments with billions hire them to make important investment decisions. But what do they do with their own money? How brainy economists are investing now? That's our talking point for Thursday's podcast. We hope you'll be listening then.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to James. How you doing, James?
I'm good, Steve. How are you tonight?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
Good, yes. I have another question. We spoke last night. I have a very similar question tonight, and I'm asking about EA, Entertainment Arts, ticker symbol EA, and also relevant to it being a producer of video games, and particularly there's a new Star Wars video game coming out in time for the holiday season that's expected to sell. They're anticipating them selling 10 million copies. I believe the share is somewhere in the $70s at the moment.
Right.
But I was wondering if that might also flourish. We spoke about Mattel last night, but might EA flourish as a result of the holiday season and release of the Star Wars game?
Okay, it's Electronic Arts Incorporated, EA, and develops video game software and content for play on video games, consoles, PCSs, handheld platforms, and such. And they are having the Star Wars games coming out, and I think they were reviewing it just the last few days about the games. It is a big company, everybody. It's a $23 billion company. It's not small. They do $1 billion of sales a quarter or more. Okay, and of course, recent quarter was down a little bit, $815 million. But they are, you know, they are a Christmas play. They sell a lot around Christmas time. I mean, well over $1 billion. So the question is, it's going to make $3.09, and that's 23% higher than it did last year. And then next year it's going to make $3.54, another 15%. So the question you're asking is it something I should buy based on is growth rate? Well, sales growth is very sporadic because it's seasonal, a lot of seasonality, and it's not cheap. It's a, you know, it's a $74 stock making $3.54. That's a 20 plus PE range, okay, 22-23% on a PE. That's pretty high, but you know, James, I think the stock looks like it's trying to break above a recent high, and it's 3.4% below its 52-week high. I think you kind of want to wait for it to break through that resistance, and if it does, you just run with it. Until it breaks through, James, I probably wouldn't buy it because it's right at that top. Okay? Thanks for the call.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, sir. I think they'll do very well on those games. I think they really will. Let's go to BJ in Fremont. How you doing, BJ?
I'm good, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for the call.
All right. Love your show. I have a question and you want your opinion about Bank of Internet. The symbol is BOFI.
Okay.
Recently, there was a class action lawsuit against this company, and suddenly the stock took a beating just before the earnings. So I want to see what you think about it.
Okay. It is Bank BOFI Holdings. It's a holding company for BOFI Federal Bank, operating primarily through the internet and from one office in San Diego, California. So it acquired certain assets of liabilities. Oh, that was a couple of months ago, so that means nothing. Its earnings are very strong. Its sales are very strong. It's a $1.4 billion company. Sales growth has been in the 30 to 40% range for 5 or 6 quarters in a row. Earnings are going to be $7.21 this year. This year. And that's a 34% increase from last year. And then next year, another 15% to $8.28. And it's a $96 stock. So on a forward-looking earnings, it's really not that expensive. It looks like if you look backwards, but looking forward, the forward PE is about 12. Looking backwards, the PE is like 16, 17. So that's a pretty reasonable price bank. Now, what made it crash? It must have missed the earnings or something, because it fell about right at the end of October. So something happened, and it probably was earnings.
No, no. Actually, there was a news about it that one of the former employees, he disclosed some fact that they were doing some inappropriate things. As a result, he filed a lawsuit. And on that news, the stock tanked.
Okay.
But it has held pretty well around 90s. So I'm just wondering, is this, I have some of it. I'm wondering, is this a good place to pick up some more?
Well, if you believe in it, I think it is. I think this is a, you know, based on the fundamentals of the company, this is a pretty good price to pick it up. Now, now it all, of course, it will all depend on whether or not the news gets worse and they get audited or something happens, you know, that could cause the stock price to be under pressure. But as far as fundamentals, it looks pretty good. I appreciate it. Thanks, BJ. Appreciate it. Mike, if you hold on, we have to take a break. Please hold on. I'll be happy to talk about that. We've reached the halfway mark, everybody. If you're a podcast listener and would like to talk to me live, InvestTalk is produced every weekday afternoon from 4 to 5 Pacific time. You can also online. It's always open. 888-99-SHARP. You can call anytime you want.
Good advice. Spread your money around. Stick to a well-thought-out plan for carefully divvying up your money so no single calamity will destroy your portfolio. Want to talk about it? 888-99-CHART is how to get through right now. This is InvestTalk for Wednesday, November 4th. Need a quick answer to a money question or a second opinion on an investment decision you need to make right now? Get through 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific time, or you can post your question and get an answer on the next InvestTalk. Either way, it's 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART. We're going to talk to Mike in Alameda. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing well, Steve. Thank you.
Thank you.
I enjoy your program.
Thank you.
Steve, I'd like to get your opinion on Papa John's. The symbol is P as in Peter, zebra, apple.
Okay. Everybody has probably seen the advertise on TV. Franchise operates 4,663 pizza restaurants in the United States. It's a $2.3 billion company, and it just recently tanked because of earnings. And earnings weren't bad, Mike. Earnings came in as expected. Growth was less than they wanted. That was the problem. And then the CEO said, we're not going to grow that much more the rest of this year either. And that's really what hurt them. They grew their sales 2 to 3%. A year ago quarter, they grew their sales 10%. And this is what happens when you're dealing with a growth stock that all of a sudden doesn't grow as fast as it was. It's still growing, mind you, but it's not growing as fast. So the stock got crunched, and it's still at a 34 PE. So it's not cheap. Even at this price, it's not cheap. So if you buy it, I don't think it's a good buy right now because the CEO said that, you know, he's ratcheting down growth prospects, and they're going to make $2.43 next year, and it's a $60 stock. And it really should be, personally, it should be about a $30 to $40 stock. So I don't think you want to be a buyer of this one. It's just, it may bounce from here, but I don't feel good about it. If the CEO said we have a turnaround plan in place and you're gonna continue to grow, we're gonna pick it back up, but he didn't. He was kind of downbeat on what he said. So, Mike, I'd stay away from it. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. That's Papa John's, everybody. PZZA, and we're gonna go to Rabi in Santa Clara. How you doing, Rabi?
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm good.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Yeah, so this is regarding the fund VG, PMX, Vanguard, Precious Metals Fund.
Okay.
PMX. So I bought this fund around $8.50. I thought of this, I want to do a value investing since the metals are really tanked.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to add one more chunk into my 401k, when this fund goes down, is it a good idea to add more on this because the metals are really doing bad around the world, right? So, what's your idea on that?
It depends on how much you have, because it is a good diversifier. It will diversify your portfolio, But if you have if you have 3 to 5% already in your portfolio of this one, you know, of the precious metal area, I probably wouldn't add to it at this stage. I don't know if I would add to it. Do you know how much do you have on percentage basis of your overall portfolio? You know, your total, if it's 10% or 15%, you have probably too much.
Yeah, 2 to 3%.
Okay, right, then if you have 2 to 3%, then yeah, you can add to it another 2 or 3%. No, probably not 3, but at least, you know, get you up to 5%. And I don't think that would harm your portfolio at all. And it might go up if the stock market goes down, because, you know, precious metals moves in its own way. It usually moves, you know, when the dollar, see, when the dollar is getting stronger, it's very difficult for precious metals to go up. And that's what's happened recently. The dollar's gotten stronger. So that's, you know, that's difficult. If Janet Yellen raises interest rates in December, you know, that could adversely affect precious metals types of holdings, because that means the dollar will probably get stronger. Now, if December comes and goes and she does not raise rates, that might be another leg up for gold. Because, yeah, you know, so you just got to watch your dollar, and you could add a little bit more, and it's a good diversifier. It's just not working right now, and you got to be, you're going to have to be patient with it.
Yeah.
Okay, Robbie? Yeah. Appreciate the call. Thank you very much. I have an email question, which is pretty interesting. This is from Derek. And I have a question that I hope you could address in your radio show for me. I think it's a good question for those who are just entering the market, like me. My question is that interest rates have been at zero for so long, then why is the dollar so strong? I thought cutting interest rates supposed to depreciate the value of the dollar. And is this the reason the Fed is having so much hesitation with hiking interest rates? Very good question, really. So we're at zero interest rates. Why would the dollar get stronger? And because he's perfectly correct. The dollar, if interest rates rise, usually, you know, the dollar gets stronger. But the dollar is also much more related. First of all, you got to remember the dollar floats against other currencies like the euro and the yen. What are their interest rates? What's the interest rates in the EU? Zero. They're less than zero in many of the bigger countries there. Less than zero. Ours is just zero. Is the EU going to raise rates anytime soon? No, they're still pushing hard to keep the rates to less than zero while our Fed is thinking about raising them. How about Japan? Japan's got problems too. Everywhere in the world, there's a currency war going on. Everybody wants their currency to go down. And U.S. is kind of on the verge of not participating anymore, and our dollar is going up. And then you look at the economies. How's the economy doing in the U.S. compared to the EU or compared to Japan? Our economy is doing better. Our dollar gets stronger when that happens. So it's two things. It's two things working in behalf of a stronger dollar, not a weaker dollar at this point. If we go into recession, well, that could change things. If the EU and Japan start growing faster, that could change things. But we don't have that yet. Notice I am not talking about China. Why am I not talking about China? Because China ties their currency to our dollar. It floats within a certain range, but it's tied to our dollar. So it's not so much strength or weakening against the Chinese yuan, because our dollar goes up and down in conjunction with it. Well, their currency goes up and down. They tie it to our dollar. You voted on our webinar survey, everybody. You wanted more information on building a strong portfolio and finding strong dividend-paying stock. So join us on November 18th at 6:30 p.m. Pacific time for a one-hour free webinar. You can register now on investtalk.com.
InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial. If you're looking for a professionally managed investment program, see the ones described on investtalk.com. Click on the Investments tab and you'll see KPP's Balanced Income Program, Steady Yield for those who want to keep risk at a minimum. Just one of the programs designed to meet the most exacting criteria from KPP Financial.
888 888- 1999 chart, stick to your investing plan, period, no matter what. Here's why. It is widely known and studied that investors are, as a group, very seldom realize the returns of the asset classes they're invested in. They have a propensity to buy highs and sell lows. And this is not a theory. This has been a study after study after study shows this. This is exactly what they do. They buy those things that worked really, really well last year, and they sell those things that worked poorly last year. Well, that's not the way you should really invest. It's just not the way. There's been a study by DelBar that proves that the average return for the last 20 years for the S&P 500 is 9.9%. For bonds, it's 6.2%. And gold, it's 5.9%. And the EFA, which is, you know, European and Asia, up 5.4%. But the typical mutual fund investor had 2.5%. Less than half, much less than half than the S&P. So why? Why is that happening? Now, I will grant you that this study was done over the last 20 years, which had a very volatile markets in the last 20 years. So, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of biased to that. But still, it has proved over and over and over again, over any length of time, that investors buy high and sell low. They get very frightened of the market at the bottom, and they get too excited about it at the top. They'll want to buy more. And this is true in sectors, for the overall market, for individual stocks, on and on and on and on. So what can we do to change that? Well, one of the things we can do is just make sure you understand that that's what you're doing. One, I think if we can get some awareness out there with people, this is what you're doing this, maybe we can at least get a conversation to try to stop it. And that's what when dollar cost averaging comes in the best. If you dollar cost average in and just keep investing over time through your 401k, every paycheck, invest, then you don't have, and if you can just ignore it for 20 years, just ignore it, just invest in the market. You'll do so much better than watching it and panicking over and worrying about it going up and down. You got to stop doing that. And it's hard. I know it's hard, but it's the right thing to do. Okay, so do it. It's hard, I know. We're here for you, beginner, experienced investor. It doesn't matter. 888-99-CHART. If you have a question, and if you're a podcast listener and you want to call anytime, you can, or you can call when we're live right now, 4 to 5 Pacific time. And here's a call that came in earlier.
Hey, Steve and Justin. This is P calling from San Jose. I really enjoy your podcast show. I had two questions. I'm thinking of investing in Walmart, WMT, and I was wondering if this is a good time to get in. And I hold some stocks in Amazon, and it has gone up recently. It's in like the upper highs. I was wondering if I should sell or hold. Thanks a lot. I enjoy your show.
Okay, well, that's a good question. Walmart, everybody knows who Walmart is. They have been in a downtrend for almost a year. Okay, downtrend, down. And they had earnings not that long ago, and they were disappointed because the company said, we're going to spend some money, some on research and development costs and our website, you know, all those kinds of things that you want them to spend money on, but it's going to affect their short-term earnings until the stock got beat up. But it looks like to me it's at a bottom. It looks like it's really close to a bottom to me. Now, I don't know that for a fact. But if you're just going to ask me, is it a good buy where it is? I'm going to say, I think it is. I really do, because it's around, you know, 13 PE. Return on equity is 21%, which is very good. Management owns over half of the stock. You don't think they're focused on making money? And it pays a 3.4% dividend at this price. So I kind of like it at this price. By the way, we own Walmart and some of our managed accounts, just so you know. But I do kind of like it at this price. In the last couple of days, I mean, even today it was up on a down day in the market. So it kind of tells me that buyers are starting to think that maybe it's attractive at this price. Walmart is not, Walmart's Walmart, the largest, they have 11,000 Walmarts, I mean, and Sam's Clubs. I think you want to, if you can get it cheap, which is, I think, is fairly inexpensive. You want to be, you want to own it. You want to. It's a good long-term play. Time for InvestTalk Personal, everybody. The everyday money choices you make to make a lasting impact on your portfolio. Here's a couple of terms you hear about that maybe may not, maybe you don't know what they really mean. APR. It's known as the annual percentage rates. Annual percentage rate. But you may be confusing that with interest rate. They are related, of course, but they're not the same. Credit.com explains it this way. Think of interest as a cost of borrowing money. Interest and APR both are shown as percentages of the loan amount. But APR includes interest and other fees and costs. So APR is always higher. A mortgage APR, for instance, includes closing costs, origination fees, discount points. It's everything. So you really want to know what your APR is. Because that's your really true cost. The Federal Truth in Lending Act requires lenders to tell you the APR when offering a loan. So compare APRs, not just interest rates, when you shop for a loan. Okay. Another term associated with borrowing money is APY, annual percentage yield. Now, that's the yearly amount you earn on savings or that you pay to borrow, including compound interest. APR doesn't include compound interest. APY does. And that's InvestTalk Personal. You can see the link to this credit.com article next to our talking point for today on investtalk.com if you want to read the whole thing. And please get through to us at 888-99-CHART. You can also send me a note. That will go directly to me. Just click on Contact Justin or, you know, investtalk.com. You know, you can go to and send, you can send me an email, kppfinancial.com. Or you can send me a Twitter, at kppfinancial. There's all kinds of ways you can get a hold of us. There's only one holiday gift you should get for your kids, and that is money. Now, grandkids. Parents would like college money. That's the number one thing they want. It's college money for their kids. And I think that's an excellent idea. The five ways to get grandkids money for college. You can give them cash. You can deposit in money in a 529 plan. You can deposit in a general savings account. A bond, savings bond. An ETF. So all kinds of ways you could do it. But what they want, what they, the parents want for their children or grandchildren is college money. And you can't blame them because college is so expensive. It's a great, great gift. InvestTalk Insiders have access to all our InvestTalk webinars anytime, 24 hours a day. They gain insight from a monthly market forecast and much more. Much more. Don't be left outside if you want to have more, you want to have some more learning going on. Get our newsletters. Join in the InvestTalk Insider. Get our weekly newsletters, less than $10 a month. But the Insider is free. Sign up for free right on InvestTalk.com.
Our podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. Join Steve and Justin for our next webinar. By popular demand, the topic will be building a strong portfolio with less risk and finding strong dividend-paying stocks. The date is November 18th. The time is 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. And you can sign up right now on investtalk.com. There is no charge.
888-992-4278. Our first priority is always to answer your questions. So let's pick up a call that came in before today's program on our 24-hour listen line. Same number, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve. This is Vivek from Wisconsin. I have a question for you regarding KMI, that's Kinder Morgan, Inc. I'm looking for a long-term investment, like probably 2 years, 1 to 2 years, and dividend yield looks pretty impressive. Want to know your take on it. We'll listen in the podcast. Thank you. Bye.
Kinder Morgan, Inc., KMI, provides natural gas transportation storage services in North America. They're going to make 77 cents a year this year, okay? 77 cents for 2015. Last year, they made $1. Year before, $1.09. Next year, they're going to make 83 cents a share. They pay a 7.6% dividend yield, and the stock is $26.81. 7.6. Okay, well, what's 7% of $26? Okay, that's how, well, it's like $1.60 plus. You know, I'm just doing things in my head, rounding it off. How are they going to pay $1.60 if they're only going to make 77 cents a share and 83 cents a share next year? How are they going to pay $1.60? And if even look at the cash flow, it's $1.52. All the cash flow is going to be paid in a dividend? More than all the cash flow? That's the problem you have. How can they keep that up? They can't. Especially when sales are going down, you know, 12 to 14% the last three quarters in a row. You can't keep it up. Okay, only thing that will help is if, and notice the stock has gone down from, you know, in the 40s down to 26 in the last, you know, since June. Why has it gone down? Because these things can't, you know, natural gas prices are really low and they can't keep up those dividends. So you got to be really concerned about they won't be able to pay the dividend. So the question you should have, but is the stock price low enough to be attractive? Well, they're going to make 88 cents next year. And if it's a 20 PE, that's $16, $17 stock. The stock is not worth more than $20 a share. And it's at $28, $26, $27. I think it's a little expensive. I think the dividends are going to be difficult for them to pay. That doesn't mean people won't buy it because they'll think that they'll keep up that dividend. So it could be at or near bottom, but it's not for me. It's too risky. Too much risk involved. KMI. More affluent customers will shop on Black Monday and Cyber Monday. This was a report done by a survey done by American Express. And they tracked 1,500 Americans who make $100,000 or more. And they said they're going to be shopping. 56% of them said that they will be shopping on Black Monday or Black Friday or Cyber Monday. And that's up from last year. It's 46% last year. And consumers will spend $584 on average. That's up 17% from last year. More than half of the Black Friday shoppers, 55%, said they will shop between midnight and 7 a.m. And 58% say they would use a smartphone when holiday shopping. And that's up from 49% in 2014. So the more affluent shoppers are going to spend more money and faster, according to that report. Now, remember, yesterday I just talked about it, saying that the consumers are kind of in a downward mood, about spending. Now, at some point, they're going to be attractive, but consumers are smart. They're probably waiting for those sales to come because the retailers, you know, it's a game of chicken waiting for who's going to blink. You know there's going to be shoppers. We know there's going to be discounts. How much and both categories, how many shoppers and how much discount. According to this survey, the more fluent will be spending more money and sooner. So I thought I'd mention that. I thought that was interesting. What did we learn from the 2000 tech crash? This is something I wanted to get into, and I'm not going to have enough time for today. So I'm going to hold that off till tomorrow. Sorry. I really apologize for that because I hate doing that. But I need to give more time to this. What did we learn in 2000? Are we at the same point now, or is there something we should, you know, take with us in the future? And I think we should. Our hour's up. Both Justin and Pine and I thank you for investing this hour with us. A reminder, my new checkup dates in San Jose is November 11th, and you can reserve your hour by going to investtalk.com and clicking on the schedule a meeting. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley. And for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP Financial, thank you for listening, and we hope we could do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial,
a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.